applied anywhere. In the neighborhood, around the state, across the country, and in the far corners of the world. Through the Mike Ilitch School of Business, you'll learn theory and practice to prepare you for every idea, opportunity, and business model. At this incredible new facility in the District of Detroit, business leaders teach classes, students become interns, and graduates get recruited as high-level talent. We're more than in the heart of the city. We're in the heart of the business community, with access to influential thinkers from the public and private sector. We have the tools, the technology, and the relationships that create opportunities for success. So if you're looking to create, innovate, or disrupt, we'll take that drive and make it stronger. To see how being Warrior Strong changes the way the world does business, visit wayne.edu.
Warrior fans, the post-game show continues next.
College athletes build on every opportunity to play, to grow, to break glass ceilings, to blaze a trail, to expand the mind, to leave a legacy, to change history, to win. Because to college athletes, opportunity is just the beginning. Learn more at NCAA.org.
Back 71-65 Hillsdale wins it over Wayne State tonight. Let's take a look at the final numbers from this one. Hillsdale shoots 28 of 57 from the field, 49.1%, 4 of 17 from behind the arc, 23.5%, 11 of 15 from the free throw line, including a lot of free throws down the stretch to ice the game, 73.3%. Wayne State 28 of 57 for the game as well, exact same percentage, yeah. Exact same number. How does that happen? 49.1%. The big difference in the game, we talked about it toward the end, 1 of 12 for Wayne State from behind the arc. Carmelo Harris, the only made three of the ball game for the Warriors, 8.3%, and 8 of 11 from the free throw line for the Warriors, 72.7%. We highlighted the rebounding total early in the game and told you Wayne State was dominating the glass. Well, foul numbers there. Hillsdale wins the rebounding battle, 35-29, including 9-5 on the offensive glass. Wayne State turned it over seven times, which isn't bad at all. Hillsdale turned it over eight times. Most of those coming in that about 4 to 5 minute span when the Warriors really turned up that full court pressure. And again, the Warriors outscored Hillsdale 33-30 in the first half. Chargers come back in the second half and outscore Wayne State 41-32 for a total of 71-65. Leading scorers in the game for Hillsdale, and it was Charles Woodens with a game-high 18 points. Joe Reuter was tough. He was the only returning starter from last year's team. He scored 16, and Ashton Janowski had 14, along with Samuel Vasu off the bench with 12. So four different Chargers with double figures today, including two of them off the bench. C.J. Arian had two. Walt Mattingly had four. Mikey McCollum had three. Cole McQuinney had two. Kilo Glasser played but did not score for a total of 71. For Wayne State, they were led by Colin Golson and Carmelo Harris with a team-high 11 points apiece. Matt Coffey had 10. And then it was Jordan Briggs with 9. Cayman Lennox with 6. Kareem Aburashed with 4. And Ray Williams with 6, along with Tamario Adley with 8 for a total of 65. Rob Lee and Chris Mutibi played but did not score. So you look at those stats today, Andy. What jumps out at you right off the bat from being the biggest difference in this game and the Hillsdale win?
Oh, I think you nailed it. I mean, everything. It was definitely an opportunity to win, right? Like you said, we shot exactly the same percentage from the field. You know, it comes down to where we scored from. You know, they made three more threes. There's 9 points right there. You know, a few more offensive rebounds. It was a very close game. You know, it came down to inches and, you know, seconds out there. And they were able to get it done when it mattered.
All right, so we'll step aside and take one final break. When we come back, we'll give you some scores from around the conference, if we can find them, and kind of preview the next game coming up on Sunday against Malone. It's coming up after this. Again, final score was Hillsdale 71, Wayne State 65. You're listening to Warriors Basketball.
To college athletes, the whole world looks like an opportunity, one to be seized, built upon, and made better, to push their sport further, to broaden their minds, to help communities they live in, and to inspire those who follow. Because to college athletes, every opportunity is a chance to change what could be
and show the world what opportunity can do. Learn more at NCAA.org.
Warrior fans, there's more to come in the post-game show.
Our industry, business, nonprofit, and clinical partners know that Wayne State is the talent pipeline for Detroit and beyond. It's why they support our students through internships and other learning by doing career experiences.
Dr. Kimberly Andrews Espy, president of Wayne State University.
And these same partners have first dibs to hire some of Michigan's most career-prepared professionals. Wayne State is working hard to ensure that our most precious resource stays right here in Michigan and delivers results that advance the future of our state.
One final time in Midtown Detroit. 71-65 Hillsdale wins it today over Wayne State. Hillsdale being the first game of the season for both teams goes to 1-0. Wayne State falls to 0-1. We told you Malone and Sagan are the other two teams in this little GMAC GLEMAC Challenge pod we have going on here. That game just got underway up the road at Saginaw. 8-8. About 4.5 minutes into that one. Told you the Warrior women taking on number one ranked Ashland and defending national champion Ashland Eagles as well tonight. 77-40 Ashland with about 35 seconds to go in the third quarter. Check the split box real quick to see who's leading the way. Kate MacArthur leading the way for Wayne State with 10 points. Shea Tripp has 8. Thompson with 10. Warrior women picked, I believe, 5th in the GLIAC in the preseason pool this year. They got a couple newcomers coming in who they're really looking forward to seeing, and I think Carrie Laura has that team hopefully getting back up to the top part of the GLIAC. They finished 7th last year, made the tournament, lost up at Michigan Tech in the opener, but I think the Warrior women are on their way up as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Coach Laura gets it done. It's just a matter of time. Everybody's got a hiccup here or there.
All-time winningest coach in Wayne State history, and she's just a few wins away from 200 wins here at Wayne State.
Really?
So keep your eye on that as probably get that sometime in December, I would think, if things go according to plan, is Coach Lohr. 200 wins away. Instead, I joked with her when I talked to her a few weeks ago. I said, can you believe you've been here long enough to get 200 wins? And she says, well, I wish it was closer to 300 if we would have won all of our games, but obviously you can't do that. So,
I don't know if she knows that. She might think she's supposed to win them all.
Supposed to win them all, yeah. Well, at Ashland, I guess you're supposed to win them all.
Yeah,
Coach
right.
Lohr lost 6 Jeez. Games in her entire career there. But so a tough start for the Warrior women. They take on Malone tomorrow, and then, of course, the men will be at Malone on Sunday for a 3:00 tip-off. And when we talk about that game at Malone, let's kind of dig in a little bit. We mentioned before that the minutes played tonight for Wayne State pretty evenly distributed, so the fatigue shouldn't be a factor. But what do you think the biggest thing that Brian Smothers wants to work on between now and the time they tip off Sunday at 3:00?
Well, I imagine they'll do some shooting drills, you know, particularly from the three-point line. But I don't necessarily think we played poorly today. Shot the ball, you know, not well. Could have done a little better job on D. Probably work on, guarding back screens. There was a lot. Hillsdale scored a lot off of that. But I think you just kind of keep doing what you're doing. Keep developing the guys. Get them minutes. It's all about reps when you have this many young guys.
Malone knocked off Wayne State last year here in the Fieldhouse in the second half of that GLIAC GMAC Challenge by 6. Now, we told you earlier in the broadcast, Malone picked to finish next to last in the GMAC this year. They lost a lot of guys off that team that finished in 7th place in the GMAC last year. So, again, on paper, that's a game that if you're Wayne State, you're looking at, hey, I know it's a road game, but that's a game we should win, a good bounce-back spot for the Warriors after falling to a pretty good Hillsdale team here tonight. And I don't think the confidence has to be shot at all. I know you want to win every game you play, but
yeah. You
kind of learn. But you know, you're a coach, Andy. You know this. You learn a lot about your team that first game. And it might be an old cliche, but they always say you improve the most from your first or your second game. But you know, hopefully that's the case for Wayne State coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, and I think it will. I think you keep doing what you're doing, playing a lot of guys, seeing what you got, you know, finding out some guys are going to rise to the top, and I think we're doing it right. These are good games to win, but not crucial when it comes to, you know, getting hardware and stuff at the end of the year. So,
and talking about getting the hardware at the end of the year in the conference, it's going to be a tough conference from top to bottom again. We told you Wayne State picked to finish 9th out of 10 by the coaches in the preseason. Ferris State is the league favorite. Northern Michigan, the second pick. Then Grand Valley right behind them at third. But I think it's going to be a pretty balanced league. I really honestly think that Northern Michigan and Ferris State, at least for the time being, have kind of separated themselves from the rest of the league with the talent they have coming back. Now we'll see what happens with the transfers that came in the offseason and how teams gel during the month of November before GLIAC play starts in early December. But on paper right now, I think those two teams have kind of separated themselves from everybody else. And then the other eight teams, you can kind of throw in a hat, and depending on who's hot that night or where the game's at or what the situation is, I think anybody can kind of beat anybody at the moment.
Yeah, I would argue that's just been the nature of the GLIAC forever, with so many different styles of play, and then, you know, the geographic and the travel and stuff. Anybody can beat anybody on any given day in this league.
You know what I'm looking forward to is we dive into the schedule here for a few minutes. We told you Northern Michigan, one of the better teams in the league. That's who the league opener is against up in Marquette to open the season. I have not been to the UP in December. It's always in January or February or early March, so I'm looking forward to maybe seeing
the ground.
20 feet of snow on the ground yet. Now, it could snow a lot between now and then, you know, over the next 3 or 4 weeks. You never know, but it'd be nice to be up there early in the year, get that trip out of the way early. You know, it's long way up there. Northern Michigan on December 7th on a Thursday at Michigan Tech Saturday afternoon, then all the way back to Detroit. So it's nice to get that long trip out of the way early.
Yeah, it's early. And, you know, those are tough games. When you've played 20, 25 games, you're going up to Houghton on a 12-hour bus ride. That's a lot of fatigue. So I agree. If you can get those out of the way now and let the other teams go up there late in the year.
Yeah, it's always been late in the season, but the schedule kind of switched around a little bit. Wayne State will have a couple trips late. They go to Parkside, Purdue Northwest early February for a 3 or 4 day trip, then at Lake State, at Ferris State in mid-February. Weather could be iffy for both those trips. You never know early in February what's going on. But it's nice to get that UP trip out of the way, and you'll test yourself right away with the Wildcats for sure over there at the Berry Event Center. Always a tough place to play, and you know where you're standing against one of the league's best, the defending tournament champions, and again got to the second round of the NCAA tournament last year by knocking off Hillsdale in that first round game. The game at Malone Sunday is the last road game until December 2nd when the Warriors go to Tiffin. Three straight home games after that, Lewis, Lake Erie, Lawrence Tech, before they play five straight on the road at Tiffin, at Northern Michigan, at Michigan Tech. Then William Jewell and Quincy. Technically, the William Jewell game is going to be a neutral court game, but it's not here in Midtown Detroit, at Quincy, before the Warriors come home to take on Fanshawe College the night before New Year's Eve. And then GLIAC play gets really underway that first weekend in January, and you'll see where the Warriors stand at that point. A lot of things to look forward to with this Wayne State team. A lot of talent there. Tough loss tonight by six, but I think it's going to be a much better season this year for Wayne State. I want to thank Brian Bolesky back in the studio for all of his help all night long. He does a great job as always. He is the best in the business. I want to thank Jeff Weiss and the entire SID staff here at Wayne State. I want to thank Dr. Espy, the new president here at Wayne State, along with Erica Wallace, the athletic director here at Wayne State. The next broadcast on the network will actually be football tomorrow. The season finale for the Warriors, Sean and Brady bringing the action from Ferris State. Pregame show starts at 12:45 right here on the Patriot. Then I'll be back on Sunday for Warrior basketball, 2:45 pregame and 3 p.m. tip from Malone. Until then, and as always, go Warriors!
Warriors basketball is sponsored by Andiamo, Radisson Hotel Detroit Southfield, Born in Detroit, Uniprop, Nike, Beyond Juice, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan, Detroit Sports Commission, Henry Ford Health Systems, Jimmy John's, United Dairy Industry of Michigan, Michigan First Credit Union, Tropical Smoothie, Condado Tacos, National Trails, and brought to you by Smokey G's Smokehouse. Furnished by Wayne State University Athletics with FM 101.5 and AM 1400, The Patriot. Go Warriors!
Hi, Rhett Rasmussen of BestHotGrill.com. Step up your grilling game with our Solaire portable infrared grills. Our Compact Everywhere is a favorite of RVers and trailer pullers. Solaire Infrared provides the quick sear for bar marks and texture needed to properly finish sous vide. Use a portable alongside your larger conventional grill to create an instant sear zone and more juicy and flavorful food. Learn more at BestHotGrill.com. Affordable, powerful, portable infrared grills at BestHotGrill.com.
Okay, Sean Davis continues in the Federalist. Sean, let me read this headline for you, and we have a video to accompany it in a second. Will John Fetterman cost Joe Biden the election? Divisions among Democrats over Israeli-Palestinian conflict have highlighted the fault with lines in the party. John Fetterman's actions are unlikely to sway the presidential election in Pennsylvania. However, it does show that there are fault lines in the Democrat Party. First of all, I'm not a fan of John Fetterman, but the guy is a masterclass troll. Every Republican could take a class in how to troll like John Fetterman is basically if Reddit became a U.S. senator. I don't know if you saw this video, but it's just, you know, you have this guy that looks like Cyclops walking, you know, in a hoodie with an Israeli flag walking. Did you see this video? It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And all these Hamas people are getting arrested. Honestly, I respect that level of game. And this his base he's trolling. So, Sean, you know, let's broaden this a little bit outside of just Fetterman doing the trolling. Is this, which is the fault lines of the Democrat Party over Israel, the Palestine issue. I don't want to overplay this. I think this is the most divided I've seen the Democrats in recent memory. Am I right on saying that, Sean?
I think you are, and I think it explains why the institutional left, why Joe Biden and the party leadership walk on eggshells on this issue, which really shouldn't be a difficult issue.
Your blood donation through the American Red Cross can help save up to 3 lives. This holiday season, give something that means something. Give blood. Make an appointment to donate blood or platelets today at redcrossblood.org.
The Patriot, FM 101.5, AM 1400, WDTK, Detroit. The Salem Media Group, on the NASDAQ as SALM.
Concerned about unpredictable rising college tuition costs? Siena Heights University is taking a bold step to remain affordable. The Siena Tuition Advantage Plan means more price certainty, including potentially one tuition price during your time at Siena. A Catholic university located in Adrian, Michigan, Siena Heights also offers scholarships in academics, athletics, and the arts. Find out what the Siena Tuition Advantage is all about today by visiting siennaheights.edu. That's the Siena Effect.
Join AAA Pregnancy Resource Center for the annual Pro-Life Workshop on Saturday, January 27th from 9 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Come for a fun-filled morning headlined by pro-life activist and guest speaker Mike Spencer. Saturday, January 27th at 242 Church. Learn how to confidently defend pro-life. Sign up today at aapregnancyinfo.org or by calling 734-425-8060. We join our regularly scheduled programming already in progress.
MIS sees some speed records, but not from race cars, and a full day of soccer finals leads to some last-minute victories. I'm John Ross, and this is This Week in High School Sports, powered by Michigan Student Aid. There are 4 newly crowned boys soccer champions after a great Saturday of 4 finals all at Grand Ledge High School. The first game of the day, the Division IV final, saw Western Michigan Christian knock off Madison Heights Bishop Foley 3-0. The Warriors got 2 goals from Takalin Vlasma and 1 from Charlie Bersma in the win. In Division III, Jack Kaminga scored with less than 10 minutes remaining to give Hudsonville Unity Christian a 3-2 victory over Detroit Country Day. The title is the Crusaders' 6th. Grand Rapids Christian is the champ in Division II. The Eagles scored all 3 goals in the second half in a 3-0 win over Mason. John Cassaday netted twice. And in the final game of the night, Troy Athens scored a goal with just 2 minutes left to tie it against Brighton. And then they won it in overtime on a Manny Abado goal. Athens now has 6 boys soccer championships. Complete coverage of all 4 divisions, including box scores, can be found at MHSAA.com. Girls soccer practice starts on March 11th, with the first games being played on March 20th, and the girls soccer finals will be June 14th and 15th from Michigan State University. It's time for Game Balls, when we highlight a trio of standout performances from the last week. First up, Jennison junior swimmer Sophia Umstead. She was a perfect 4-for-4 at the OK Red Conference meet, leading Jennison to their second straight league title. Belleville quarterback Bryce Underwood. The junior was 21 of 25 for 312 yards and 4 TD passes, plus he added a touchdown run and a 65-14 district final win over Saline. And to Deckerville's Hunter Garza, he ran for 2 touchdowns and threw for another in a 34-32 win over Portland St. Patrick. The win sends Deckerville to the 8-player semifinals.
For high school seniors, the matchup of the year isn't on the field. It's actually online. That's right. When you fill out the FAFSA, you know, the free application for federal student aid, you could also be eligible for thousands of dollars in additional money from the Michigan Achievement Scholarship. Yep, nearly 80% of students who fill out the FAFSA may be eligible. Now that's a matchup we can all root for. Get started today at michigan.gov/achievement. The Michigan Achievement Scholarship. It's a game changer.
Our weekly Be the Referee feature takes a look at the fine art of officiating with the MHSAA's Director of Officiating Services, Sam Davis.
It's third and goal from the 12-yard line when the quarterback throws a pass high over the middle. It goes over the outstretched hands of the receiver, hits the crossbar of the goalpost, and ricochets back towards the receiver, who is able to grab it while standing in the end zone. Is this a touchdown? It is not. Once a pass hits the crossbar or uprights of the goalpost, the pass is dead. It is an incomplete pass, and now it's fourth and goal. So, they send out the field goal unit, and the kick hits the uprights, also bounces back into the field of play. Is the ball returnable by either team? Nope. Once it hits the goalpost and comes back onto the field, it's a missed field goal. The defense now takes over, first and 10.
Thanks, Sam. Now more than ever, we need officials. If you're interested, go to the MHSAA website now to register.
November 4th will go down as one of the fastest days at Michigan International Speedway as numerous cross-country finals records were broken. Let's start with the fastest. Rachel Forsyth of Ann Arbor Pioneer shattered the all-division record, turning in a time of 16:28, nearly 24 seconds faster than any girl has run at finals. It's her second D1 individual championship. Romeo won the team title. Hart Jr. Jessica Jaswinski set a Lower Peninsula Division III record en route to picking up her second straight individual title. Jackson Lumen Christie won the team title in D3. And a record was set in Division IV as Aiden Heron won her second straight finals and etched her name atop the list of fastest ever in D4. On the boys' side, Freeland's TJ Hansen broke the Division II record. He ran the course in 14:52.8. Ada Forest Hills Eastern was first amongst